Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9R Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Guns of August by Barbara W. Bay. Touchman is a landmark narrative history that reconstructs how Europe stumbled from uneasy peace into the catastrophe of World War I. Centering on the tense weeks of July and August 1914, the book traces the collision of alliances, military timetables, and political misjudgments that turned a regional crisis into a continental inferno. Touchman presents the era as a world confident in progress, yet trapped by rigid plans and institutional habits, where leaders feared looking weak more than they feared escalation. Moving between capitals and headquarters, she shows how decisions made under pressure and imperfect information became irreversible once armies began to move. The book is also a study of how the opening campaign shaped expectations for a short, decisive war, and instead produced stalemate and mass casualties. Celebrated for its clarity and pacing, it remains an accessible entry point into the war's origins and early operations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Europe on the brink: alliances, assumptions, and national temperaments. A major focus of the book is the pre-war European system that made a general conflict possible. Touchman explores how alliances promised security yet also created tripwires, encouraging statesmen to think in blocks rather than in limited, local solutions. The great powers entered 1914 with long memories of past wars, imperial rivalries, and fears about declining status. These anxieties fostered a culture of worst-case planning, in which mobilization schedules and diplomatic signaling became tests of resolve. The narrative emphasizes that leaders did not simply choose war in a single moment, they drifted toward it through assumptions about what rivals would do and about how fast events would unfold. National temperaments and political constraints mattered too. Governments faced domestic pressures, prestige concerns, and fragile coalitions that reduced room for compromise. In this atmosphere, confidence in quick victory and faith in offensive doctrines made conflict seem manageable, even rational. By showing how ordinary bureaucratic routines and status calculations compounded strategic fears, the book clarifies why the system could not absorb shocks. The result is a portrait of Europe as a tightly coupled machine, where small turns of the wheel produced continent-wide consequences. Secondly, from Sarajevo to mobilization, how a crisis became a point of no return, the book details the escalation from the assassination at Sarajevo to the chain of ultimatums and mobilizations that followed. Touchman presents the crisis as an interaction of deadlines, pride, and misread intentions. Diplomatic messages traveled slowly, were interpreted through suspicion, and were often shaped by what each capital needed to believe. The crucial insight is that mobilization was treated as both precaution and threat. Because military plans required early movement of troops and railways, leaders feared that delaying would be fatal if an opponent acted first. That logic transformed political bargaining into a race against timetables. As the crisis deepened, statesmen found themselves negotiating under the shadow of their own general staffs, whose plans assumed rapid execution and left little room for improvisation. Touchman shows how the language of deterrence and firmness could become self-defeating, convincing others that compromise was impossible. She also highlights the tragic mismatch between the complexity of the crisis and the simplicity of many proposed solutions, such as limited punishment or localized war. Once orders went out and trains began running, the momentum of mass mobilization became its own form of decision, hardening positions and making retreat seem humiliating. The account illustrates how modern war can begin not with a single intent, but with cascading commitments. Thirdly, war plans as fate, the Schlieffen logic and the tyranny of the timetable. Touchman devotes considerable attention to the pre-war operational plans that shaped the opening moves, especially Germany's westward strategy and France's offensive doctrine. She portrays war planning as a substitute for strategy, offering the illusion of certainty while narrowing political choices. Plans built around rail schedules and precise sequencing demanded early activation, discouraging delay or diplomatic experimentation. The logic of striking first to avoid being caught unprepared encouraged escalation even among leaders who recognized the risk. In describing the German advance through Belgium and the assumptions behind it, the book underscores how an operational solution to a two-front problem generated major political consequences, including the violation of neutrality and the widening of the conflict. French planning, meanwhile, reflected faith in morale, speed, and attack, underestimating modern firepower and the defensive advantage. Touchman shows that once the plans met reality, friction appeared everywhere: unexpected resistance, supply problems, fatigue, and incomplete information. Yet commanders often persisted because the plan was treated as doctrine and because admitting error carried personal and national costs. The broader theme is that pre-commitment can turn into destiny. When institutions equate obedience to the plan with patriotism and competence, flexibility becomes rare precisely when it is most needed. The opening weeks reveal how doctrine and bureaucracy can steer nations toward outcomes no one explicitly chose. Fourthly, command decisions and misjudgments in the opening campaigns. The early battles of 1914 form the dramatic core of the narrative, and Tuchman uses them to analyze leadership under pressure. She examines how commanders on all sides struggled to align grand objectives with the messy realities of terrain, weather, morale, and communication. The opening campaign exposed weaknesses in reconnaissance, coordination between armies, and the ability to adapt when the enemy acted unexpectedly. Tuchman highlights how personal style and institutional culture affected outcomes. Some leaders clung to rigid methods, treating setbacks as failures of will rather than signals that assumptions were wrong. Others improvised, exploited opportunities, or recognized when to trade space for time. The book also demonstrates the cost of fragmented command structures and rivalries within Allied coalitions, where political considerations and national pride complicated unity of effort. Critical decisions about marching routes, concentration points, and the pace of advance often relied on incomplete or outdated reports. Yet these choices had enormous consequences for casualties and momentum. By following the movement of armies and the reactions of headquarters, Tuchman shows how a series of small misjudgments can accumulate into strategic disappointment. The opening battles did not deliver decisive victory, but they shaped the psychology of the war, convincing participants that endurance and attrition would dominate. Leadership failures and limited learning in 1914 foreshadowed the grinding years that followed. Lastly, the Marne and the birth of stalemate, how the war changed in weeks. A key topic is how the initial expectation of swift decision collapsed, culminating in the battle that halted the German advance and set the stage for trench warfare. Tuchman presents this turning point as the outcome of exhaustion, overstretched lines, and command uncertainty as much as pure battlefield heroism. Rapid advances strained logistics and communications, making coordination difficult and leaving gaps that opponents could exploit. The book illustrates how the fog of war intensified as armies grew larger and moved faster than staffs could reliably track. The resulting misalignments opened opportunities for counterattack and forced recalculations on all sides. The aftermath brought a race to extend lines northward and deny flanking maneuvers, a process that gradually locked the front into a continuous barrier. Tuchman uses this transformation to show how modern industrial warfare favors defense when firepower and entrenchment combine, and how political leaders underestimated the duration and cost once the chance for a quick decision evaporated. The psychological shift is as important as the operational one. Instead of believing that one more offensive would end the war, nations began to accept a prolonged struggle requiring mass mobilization of society and economy. The early weeks thus did more than open a conflict, they created the strategic problem that dominated the entire war. The theme reinforces the book's warning about how quickly a crisis can become an entrenched reality. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand how World War I began without wading first through highly technical military studies. General history readers, students, and anyone interested in diplomacy, leadership, and institutional decision-making will benefit from Tuchman's focus on the turning points of July and August 1914. The value for everyday life comes from its clear demonstration of how complex failures happen. People act with partial information, defend their status, rely on rigid procedures, and then discover that reversing course is harder than they imagined. Those lessons apply to modern politics, organizations, and even personal planning when momentum and pride start to replace careful reassessment. Compared with many books on the war's origins, The Guns of August stands out for combining political context with a vivid account of operations on the ground, showing how diplomatic choices and battlefield realities interact. It also remains widely praised for readability, making it easier to finish and retain than denser academic treatments. For buyers comparing similar works, this one offers a durable balance of narrative drive and analytical insight, delivering both a compelling story and a framework for thinking about escalation and miscalculation. If you would like to support Barbara W. Tuchman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.